To the Unboxed Educator Podcast, where culture, creativity, and a little bit of chaos come together on purpose. Think freely, teach boldly, differently. This is the place where brave hearts meet. Unbox minds, lighting the way. We rise, we shine, we change. Unbox Educator Podcast. Well, hello and welcome back to the Unboxed Educator Podcast, where we think freely, teach boldly, and lead differently. I know it's been a minute since our last episode. I actually had some things I need to take care of. And of course, take care of yourself first always. And then now we'll get back into it. So I'm really interested to dive into this topic today. But before we get started, I want to share with everyone, if you weren't aware, if you don't follow me on my socials on TikTok or Instagram, I have published a book, Unbox Still We Teach. So this is a great tool, learning how to tell your story and how you identify with yourself and your work, specifically in education. If you are interested in getting a copy, you can get one on Amazon.com, or you can go to my website at unboxlearning.org. And if you look at the top of the website, you'll see Unbox Still We Teach, and that'll take you to the link. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into it today. All right. So I want to formally welcome you again and say hello there, other Unboxed Educators. And thank you for joining me on another conversation where we dig into the heart of our work. Okay. And sometimes the myths that we live by. Today, I want to explore something that keeps showing up in schools, the tension between ego and outcomes, specifically how leadership becomes more about looking good, controlling the scoreboard, and less about what matters most, student learning. So let's lean in. As we get into the topic today, I want to start with when fear wears the mask of leadership. So the reality is most of us don't set out to lead with ego. That is not the goal. Honestly, we want to do the right thing. We want our schools to succeed. But when the stakes are high, accountability measures, test scores, district pressures, we can slip into leadership mode defined by fear. So when fear drives us, ego becomes the armor. I must show progress. I must be in control. I must have the answers. But research tells us that how a leader behaves matters deeply for student outcomes. So for example, there was a meta-analysis found that leadership, or instructional leadership specifically, which are leaders who focus on teaching, learning, and supporting teachers, has an impact 3 to 4 times greater on student academic and non-academic outcomes than transformational leadership alone. And what you'll see at the end of this podcast, there'll be a link if you want to dive into the research and references that I use. That list will be available for you for each segment. Okay, and that was from ResearchGate. So what does that mean? It means the work is in classrooms, is in relationships, not just in big ideas or charismatic speeches. So when ego is driving, you'll see urgency without support, directives without dialogue, metrics without meaning, and a culture of compliance rather than curiosity. So think of a leader you've known. Did they feel like they were leading from fear or from purpose? Are you the leader that leads from fear or from purpose? So as we move past the fear, we want to get into the next part. And this is considered to be the data trap. So be mindful, data is not the villain. It's not the problem. It's how we treat it and what we prioritize that becomes the problem. When every meeting, decision, and conversation begins and ends with what does the data say, but data is used only for accountability and not growth, then learning gets sidelined. So one thing, and I have a former boss that used to always say this, anything in the absence of data is nothing but an opinion. The data does matter, but it's not everything. Let's not forget that we're actually teaching people here, okay? So I want you to consider the study, Data Use Among Principals and Teachers, Divergent Paths or Common Ground, Implications for Leadership Preparation Programs, which found that when data is used solely for accountability rather than to support instruction and collaboration, the potential for meaningful impact slips away. And then another review warns of the complexities and pitfalls of using teaching quality and data-based decision-making without sufficient supports or systems. So if that is the case, here's what happens. Data becomes a scoreboard instead of a feedback loop, right? And when that happens, teachers feel under surveillance rather than under support. And if you think about the implications of that, when you come to their classrooms, they lock up, they get scared, and then it throws off their flow, which then ultimately impacts their observation. So keep that in mind. Because when the focus becomes, are we meeting the target instead of are our students learning, morale drops, trust erodes, and creativity gets squeezed out. So think about that in your buildings. Is that what it feels like more so than support? Is it just coming in for compliance to check it off to make sure you're getting the teaks done? Okay. So in contrast, when data is used with a culture of trust, purpose, and growth, it becomes a powerful lever for change. A meta-analysis of data-driven decision-making found positive links with student academic achievement, retention, and engagement, but only when properly supported. So I'll say again, yes, data matters, but it needs the right heart, context, and culture behind it. So think about that in your schools. What are you using student results to drive? Is it compliance or to inform how teachers plan their instruction? Okay, so the next part of this is the hidden lesson from special education. So one of the things I love about special education spaces is that they often get growth orientation right. Where was the student yesterday? Where are they today? How can I support tomorrow? Not just did they hit the benchmark this year. So in many general education spaces, we expect uniformity, same pace, same success metrics without honoring that growth is different for every learner. So leadership research backs this up. The impact of leaders on student success is mediated by school culture and shared values, norms, and context. The context matters. So to put this simply, how a school feels, how teachers perceive support, how students experience belonging, all of that matters just as much as the numbers on a test. So what if general education leaders embrace this principle? What if we treated every learner like their growth mattered uniquely? Instead of how do we push everyone to meet this target, ask the question, how do we support each learner to grow from where they are? And that shift alone changes everything, because we often talk about growth versus achievement, and that's a whole nother conversation that I will attempt to tackle in another day. And so this brings us back to the human cost of ego. So let's be real. When leadership is ego-driven, there are real costs. Teachers feel uninspired, students feel pressure, school culture becomes brittle, innovation starts to shrink, and risks vanish, and that burnout continues to loom in your school environment. So research into leadership behaviors that contribute to teacher morale, found that when leaders enact supportive, relational, trusting practices, teacher morale goes up, okay? But when leadership becomes transactional, measure this, meet that target, move on, the human dimensions in the work gets lost. So for a moment, just imagine a place where teachers hide mistakes instead of sharing them, where the fear of being wrong or missing a goal silences the curiosity within them. That's not a learning environment. That's a performance arena, and the stakes become higher for adults and students alike. So if leadership is about proof instead of progress, about appearance instead of authenticity, then we lose. We all lose. The teachers, the students, and even the community. So let's start looking into what is the unboxed shift, okay? So now for the hopeful part, because I believe we can shift. We must shift. Here's how we move from ego-driven to empathy-led, from scoreboard-obsessed to student-centered. So the first thing is ask better questions. Like, what evidence do I have that a teacher is growing? And then take a moment to pause and reflect on that. What does that look like? How will you track that? What does data from that even look like, right? So figure out what that is first, okay? And then the next thing that you want to look at, what evidence do I have that students are thinking deeper and questioning more? And you can see that in student writings now. The teachers that I currently coach, I probably sound like a broken record to them. Interactive notebooks, what evidence do we have of sustained inquiry over time? For those that don't know, I support primarily science instruction because that was my sweet spot when I was a teacher, and I love to support other science teachers as well. But what do we have? It's not just about the formative assessment that you give in the classroom. What evidence do you have that students are actually learning, are thinking, and questioning some of the things that they are learning? And for the record, a silent classroom does not mean that you are teaching and students are learning, okay? Oftentimes, the best classrooms that I've been in look like organized chaos. So just keep that in mind. How or what evidence do you have that students are thinking deeper and questioning more? Okay. So the next question is, how am I supporting the conditions for that growth, right? That comes with, you can build a culture of trust and collaboration. That would be a great answer. And I know that's easier said than done. And that's really just a blanket statement. But the research on data culture shows that when teachers and leaders share responsibility for data, they feel safe to experiment and reflect on those impacts. And then over time, you will see improvement. And then, of course, center relationships. I'm not saying that you have to be best friends with everybody on your staff, but relationships matter. And in the ethical leadership study, when leaders acted with integrity, empathy, and a shared moral purpose, students and teachers reported greater engagement. So treat growth like progress, not perfection. Celebrate the small wins. Use multiple evidence points, not just tests, and honor growth trajectories, okay? And this, I've kind of put myself with one of the principals that I'm at one of the schools I'm supporting. We've kind of started a book club without starting a book club. And I'll also put these in the description of the podcast. But some of the books I've been reading lately, The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. I want to say Atomic Habits. I want to say it's by James Clear. Don't quote me on that. I believe so. And The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F, boy, that will give you some good insight. Of course, Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. And I'm currently reading The Culture Code. But the one I want to reference was Atomic Habits, because we talk about the 1%. We talk about the growth. And each day, if you strive for at least 1% improvement over time, that 1% adds up. So if you're not reading these kind of books and need other motivation, that's not a bad place to start. Okay. It's not a bad place to start at all. So lead less from the front and more from the side. Instead of I have the answers, it's let's explore this together. Leadership becomes a shared practice, not a solo show. And because if you think about it too, leadership can already be lonely. Don't force yourself into that loneliness. So when we lead this way, the outcome shifts too from did we hit the number to did we wake up more curious? Did we feel more connected? Did our students grow as humans and thinkers? So I want you to think about that, okay? And to close, let's talk about the mirror test. So before we dive into the next data meeting, before we launch the next initiative, take a look in the mirror. And I want you to really look at yourself and ask this question. Am I leading for the scoreboard or for the students? Okay, that's question number one. The next question, is my leadership creating a culture of compliance or a community of curiosity? That's a lot to think about because you yourself have to also be curious when you ask these questions. Do teachers in my building feel supported or as if they're under surveillance? That is something to think about because oftentimes teachers won't tell you. They'll just kind of go along and do, and then they're talking about you poorly at the water fountain. It just is what it is. And are students learning deeply or are they just performing to get a grade? So hopefully these questions will stick with you. You'll have time to actually revisit them and review them, you know, at a later time. I'll come back and re-listen to the podcast. But just remember, when ego fades, authentic leadership emerges. And when that happens, students don't just pass tests. They find their voice. They don't just fill in bubbles. They ask questions. They take ownership and become agents of their own learning. So hopefully this podcast was helpful for you today. Again, I'll provide a reference list if you want to look into some of the research that is surrounding this topic. So I just want to say thank you for tuning in to the Unboxed Educator podcast. If this episode resonates with you, please share it with a colleague, a teacher, a principal, anyone you know who might need this reminder. Learning is still the goal, not just the look. So until next time, think freely, teach boldly, and lead differently. Unboxed Educator out. Stay unboxed and let your purpose show.